You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
And now it has begun. This is David Franco. Delighted to be with you to produce this program with some wonderful co-hosts I'm about to introduce. And you've known them before, but every day is different. So they may be different today. I have no idea. We'll find out. But first, welcome Ed Skiba, brother. Welcome. Good to see
you. Thank you, brother David. I appreciate you coming out and helping me with the umbrella this morning.
Until we got near the door and I had I tipped the umbrella and you got wet. I'm sorry.
I was turning down off the main road to come down here on Map Road, I noticed Noah's Ark doesn't have turn signals. I saw it pass me.
My goodness,
we've been deluged.
I know.
When I was in Uganda, when we lived in Uganda, every time you'd go somewhere and it poured like this, it was a blessing.
Yes.
So we consider this a blessing.
Yes.
This is
God smiling
on us.
Amen.
You know, God built it into the ecosystem. The whole planet enjoys rain so that many good things can happen.
Yes. Amen.
Yes, the downside is sometimes the weather can be a little destructive.
Absolutely.
You live in Florida, you know that is true.
Yep.
But thank God we have the El Nino going on now in the Atlantic, and so it's reduced the hurricane danger anyway.
And we pray for the people in Nepal, too.
Oh,
yeah.
What?
And
that unexpected.
Oh, boy.
Well,
that glacier melted and came. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And I saw some videos of that horrible mudslide.
Me, too.
And it's over 1,000 people now that are...
Oh, it's more than that.
More than that.
Be killed.
Yes,
yeah.
It's a lot more than that,
it wasn't just mud. There was an underground eruption in a volcano, and it melted some of the glacier.
Okay.
And that's where the water came from.
But Nepal is just one of many places that have been experiencing
natural
disasters.
I wonder if God's trying to tell us something.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, well, maybe we ought to put more money into Mars exploration.
I don't know. I want to put more money into heaven exploration.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, that's going to happen a lot quicker than Mars, I'm sure. Although, wouldn't you like to be a chaplain on the first ship to Mars?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Maybe not. We're kind of been there, done that. And now, at last but certainly not least, as I always say, and it's always true, Ann Limhoko, good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be with everybody today. I like to always say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
I welcome the rain.
Amen.
Rain is indicative of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I was in Colorado 2 weeks ago. They're suffering through a really dry drought. They need rain.
Ooh.
So we pray for other parts of the country that need rain. Mm-hmm. But I welcome this rain.
Yes.
And David, thank you for coming to my car to greet me with the umbrella this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's good to be here. I'm excited for the interview that we have.
David has a servant's heart.
Yes, I do. And sometimes I take it out of the refrigerator
and install it. And I like the little towel you hang over your arm, too.
Yeah, especially today was a bigger towel. But Well, let me move ahead to invite or welcome our guest today, Ingrid Ford. Ingrid is the president of the Faith and Family Associates, and we're going to find out more about that. Ingrid.
Advocates.
Advocates.
That's okay.
I apologize. Even this is my reading glasses on. Anyway, Faith and Family Advocates.
It's all good.
It is. It's a tremendous ministry. We're going to hear more about that. And she's also connected to several other very high-level, powerful, Holy Spirit-anointed ministries, and we're going to hear about that too. So first, Ingrid, welcome to the front line.
Thank you so much, David, for having me. It's such an honor to be here with you on the air again, but to be in the studio.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that was
today.
A blessing when you texted me and said you were 12 minutes out, and because I'd expected to be calling you. So this is a great blessing to have you with us. Ingrid was on the air with us, I forget, it was a couple of months ago, I think.
Yes.
For the Biblical Response program, where we were talking about faith and family issues and in the Florida legislative level and all that's going on there. And we were able to call her, and she gave us some wonderful input.
Oh, yeah.
And information that was really a blessing to us and our listeners. So it was at that point, you know, I invited Ingrid to join us, and lo and behold, by the grace of God,
she's in the studio from Sunrise, Florida.
Yeah. Amen.
So thank you for driving all the way out here.
Yes.
So
it's my honor to be with you today. Thank you.
Before we get into what God's got you doing now, Ingrid, share with us your God story, your testimony. How did you meet Jesus?
Well, I met Jesus as a child. My mother was a faithful, born-again woman of God, a woman of prayer. When you talk about men ought to pray daily in the Bible and pray without ceasing, that was my mom. So I grew up, you know, in a household just watching her pray for everything, every need to be supplied, every sickness, every need. You know, she would pray, and miraculously, God would answer.
Amen.
So, so I got saved as a child. Maybe I was about 12 years old, you know, going to church, going into Sunday school, hearing about Christ. But watching my mom's example at home was a powerful thing.
Mm.
And so it was easy for me to say yes to Jesus because I saw him work tremendously in her life. And I wanted that. I wanted the peace that she had. She was always joyful, always singing around the house. And I just wanted, you know, what she had and to be like her.
Wow. That's awesome when a parent is the witness that leads us to Christ.
Yeah, the model.
Amen.
That
model.
And
Amen.
We cannot underestimate the role that parents have in their children's lives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So that's beautiful, Ingrid.
That is. That's awesome. And then, so I guess from that early age, you really became connected with the community of faith in your church.
Yes, I actually sang on the choir as a kid, but as I, you know, went to high school, I joined the debating team, and I saw so much that was happening, and on the inside. Wherever there was a dispute, you know, I think the Lord will lead me to go in and be a peacemaker and bring peace to the situation from I was a child. If there's a dispute in my home, at school, the Holy Spirit lead me to go in, and I became the peacemaker to that situation. I remember us having in high school, different things happening. I remember we had a walkout of and a ban of the cafeteria where we had lunches as children. And I got involved somehow. You know, kids were getting sick every day from the cafeteria. They called me to help because they don't understand why. Nobody was going to the cafeteria and buying lunches. And they said, you know, the children will listen to you and follow you. So, you know, go talk to them and see what's happening. And I was able to bring a resolution to the situation if they discontinued certain things that we think were, you know, causing the issue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I think the Lord has had his hand on me in so many ways since I was a child.
Wow, clearly.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And in your sharing of that, Ingrid, and coming to know a little bit of what you're doing now, you continue to be used by the Lord as an advocate, someone that, you know, the title of this program is The Front Line.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the front line ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are, someone that God has truly called to the front line to bring the gospel message and to bring his word to whomever you're sent.
Amen. Amen. Yes. I have been advocating now for 12 years on the front lines. And, you know, we live in a society today that is obsessed with power. And, you know, whether it be political power, we see now in the election season, different people vying for political power. We see social giants vying for social power.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say to the audience today that all power comes from God.
Amen.
Himself. All power comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
And everything I am able to do, and we as the body of Christ are able to do, is because God gave us that power to do it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so I want to, I always, you know, proceed every discussion with two scriptures, Genesis 1 verse 28, where it talks about the Lord God, after creating mankind, he blessed us. And he has given us the power to subdue the earth, to have dominion over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And I also will reference Luke 10, verse 19, which says, behold, I have given power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by no means hurt you. And so those two scriptures have been my guiding light when I step out on the front lines, whether it's to fight against abortion, to protect the unborn in the womb, whether it's to protect children from castration and mutilation, whether it's to protect girls' sports from boys playing in girls' sports, and whatever the Lord has me doing, I know that all power comes from him.
Amen.
And it's he who gives us the victory and causes us to triumph in every situation in ministry.
Amen. And this is so much more today, a very viable ministry, a very needed ministry. When you see what's going on in our culture, it's not just America, of course, in many places in the world, several phrases, the liberal progressive type attitude has really overtaken some cultures. And, you know, everyone's at risk when that's happened, especially women and children, and certainly the unborn, particularly at risk.
Yeah. It's the arrogance of man that,
that does hubris, all that. Yeah.
You know, back when Satan in the garden said, you surely shall not die, he right there said, who do you think God is? He's nobody, and that's today's progressive.
Yes.
They continue with that attitude.
Very anti-God.
Yeah.
Well, your heart, I know your God has so filled your heart with his love and his presence that, and he's focused you on these areas of advocacy. So I guess let's move to talk a little bit about faith and family advocates. How did that start, and what is your focus?
Yes, faith and family advocates started about 12 years ago. I got involved in lobbying, you know, for the protection of children. I heard a story of a mother whose 13-year-old daughter was taken to an abortion clinic by school guardians to have an abortion without the mother's consent.
Wow.
And something happened in me that day.
Wow.
And I said, how could this be? How could a child be taken to an abortion clinic to have such a serious medical procedure when they cannot even get an aspirin, you know, in the school's dispensary without the parent consent? How could they be taken to have a serious medical procedure without the mother's consent? And that day, that mother was a coworker of mine. And that day, I decided that we have crossed the line. Enough was enough. And I was going to step in and join the fight. And I lobbied with Anthony Verdugo, Christian Coalition. Started going to Tallahassee and standing up for parental rights and parental consent. Those two bills were what was being introduced at the time. And we fought and spoke up for parental rights, parental consent, you know, to have parents have the right to, you know, know about these things that are happening to the, to their children.
So, and, go ahead.
And yes, and that gave birth to my advocacy. The abortion issue has always been close to my heart, and I was able to do many advocacy work on that and advocate for the Amendment 4, but the heartbeat bill as well.
Amen.
That was a significant, I think, of Amendment 4. Thank God it did not pass.
Amen.
Although the appalling thing is by the percentage by which it didn't pass.
Yeah, it was too close.
Yeah.
But praise God. Praise God for that.
But, so let me, just taking that into account, because earlier on, in fact, that was a focal point of one of our biblical response programs on Tuesdays, and talking about before the voting happened, and we were certainly speaking, encouraging people to not vote in favor of the Amendment 4 and the reasons we gave. But what has God put on your heart, and what vision do you still have because of the fact the votes were telling in that, you know, it squeaked by, if you will. What further work has God given you to do here in Florida to raise the visibility of the whole issue of abortion?
Well, we partner with several other organizations. So I'm also a board member of Broward Right to Life, where we, you know, stand for the protection and advocacy of children, of the unborn. I've worked with Liberty Council Action with John Staver, Matt Staver, and John Stemberger. I partner with, you know, 40 Days for Life. So there are many organizations. Florida Right to Life, I also am a supporter. So there are many organizations that we work in tandem to bring education, awareness, and advocacy where necessary to the abortion issue. So right now we're focused on having the abortion pill, Mifepristone, banned.
Amen.
Not just in the state of Florida, but nationally.
Yes.
And research has shown that the water that we all drink is now being contaminated by the forever chemicals in this Mifepristone drug. Last September, there was a hearing, in fact, at the congressional level, and there's an investigation. So I think the issue was raised by RFK and in Congress, and there's an investigation into the pill. So one of our goals right now is to see that this forever chemical, which is causing miscarriages in pregnant women and other complications via our water system. So every person out there who drinks water should be very concerned about this issue right now, because your water has been contaminated by a forever chemical, otherwise known as Mifepristone, which is the abortion pill. So that's one goal. Another goal that we're focused on is, even now during the election season, one of the ways that we subdue the culture that we're called to subdue and have dominion over is by having godly men and women in offices of authority, not just in the state of Florida, but nationwide. So we identify Christian candidates that stand for life, stand against the transgendering of children, stand against the issues that are important to, that are biblically important to God, and we help those candidates to take office. That's another way that we help to subdue the culture.
Yes. So, Ingrid, this is beautiful, by the way, because we as Christians need to be the salt and the light. A lot of Christians buy the false, deception, saying that we don't need to get involved in culture. Let's not engage in culture. Ingrid hears from the Holy Spirit, and she gets her orders from the Holy Spirit to do these things. This is wonderful, Ingrid. I applaud you for standing up. And like you said, in these two scriptures, Genesis 28 and Luke 10:19, we're given all power to take authority. And we as Christians need to be activated to take authority. Man. So we're in election season right now. I assume that you're supporting, I don't know if you want to talk about certain candidates, but talk about the importance of getting involved civically. And what are you doing? You're identifying candidates to run for office, and you support them for office, I assume.
We're going to deal with a fine line with the FCC here.
Oh, okay. So you don't have to talk about
individual candidates.
All right. Yes.
Right. We can talk about
policies
and platforms, though.
Right. Okay. So you don't need to name anybody, but talk about the importance of getting civically involved. Christians in St. Lucie County and Martin County, we had in our primary election just under 25% who voted. It's so low.
Mm-hmm.
And people in this studio know how frustrated I get. So talk about that, Ingrid. Talk about that. Speak to that.
Yes, this is a very important issue. This is a critical time. This is a break or make or break moment. As we approach the November 3 elections, it is critical that we have men and women who are after God's own heart.
Amen.
And who will rule biblically when they take office.
Yes.
And so the body of Christ has a responsibility, a civic responsibility, biblical responsibility to help in subduing this culture and help in electing men and women.
Amen.
Who will uphold these biblical values. So I interviewed, you know, our ministry, we interviewed several candidates, several times in different places, and we've identified some men and women that we're praying for, that we're supporting, that we physically go hand materials, let the voters know that these men and women are standing for biblical principles. And the church need to come alongside.
Yes.
We need the body of Christ to come alongside these men and women. We can't wait until after the elections. We complain about the horrors and atrocities that are happening to children. And we take no accountability and responsibility in electing this. One of the scriptures that comes to mind is when the righteous is in rule, the people rejoice.
Amen.
But when the wicked is in rule, the people mourn.
Mm.
So we can only have righteous rule if there's godly men and women in these seats of authority.
Amen. A very secular way of putting that is evil triumphs when good men do nothing.
Yes. Amen. Amen. That's it.
And Ingrid, I know you were very close to Charlie Kirk, your friend.
Oh.
And we honor Charlie Kirk for what he did.
Oh.
He would always say, Ingrid, seek the welfare of the city in which you live, which is in Jeremiah. The Bible is full of scripture where we are to take authority, seek the welfare of the city in which you live. And Ingrid, I get so frustrated because I know people who didn't vote and they're like, well, I didn't do research. I didn't. I don't know who's running. But that's an excuse in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Don't you think? Mm-hmm. We need to do research, ask Holy Spirit, go to the Bible. He will lead us to certain candidates. So anyway, I'm glad that you're doing that at Faith and Family Advocates.
Amen. Because the Bible says the government is on the shoulder of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if we are followers of Jesus, then we bear that responsibility of government. And so there has been this lie of a separation of church and state for a long time.
Yes.
But I want to encourage pastors. I want to encourage the body of Christ that this is your moment to arise and shine.
Amen.
And to subdue, help the culture that we live in, to take authority and the dominion that God has given you and to make an impact on this upcoming election.
Amen. Yep. I just want to throw in... I'm going to ask you, Ingrid, if you would address, we have listeners at every level of faith development and every from different many churches, tons of different churches, and although some I'm listening maybe aren't church right now, and we know that God will lead you. some aren't believers, even. You know, we have people that aren't believers that listen. And I know God's got your life too. So, but the point, I was getting back to the church. This has been an issue we raise up all the time here, is it's a challenge to the church to really get on the ball, to really listen to the Lord. The church itself doesn't vote. Half of Christians don't vote. And that's a big problem because we let the ungodly people take office and then they do ungodly laws and ungodly policies. But I was good. Okay, so Ingrid, I've set the stage for that, but I would love for you to speak now to those believers, those Christians listening in, who are in a church that does not encourage their people to get involved in the culture and especially in the political side of things.
Yes, so I want to address that. That's a great question, David, because I earlier talked about the misconception of the separation of church and state, and where the Bible specifically tells us that the government is on the shoulder of Jesus. And if we're followers of Jesus, then, you know, it's on our shoulders as well. And in order to see godly rule and biblical governance, the only way is to elect men and women who uphold these biblical values. So I say to all the listeners who are in churches where your pastors are not getting involved in the election process, not getting involved in seeing godly men and women take office, that you be the one to nudge them. You be the one to show, to talk to them about these scriptures and their biblical responsibility that they have to be part of the culture, to subdue it, and to see godly men and women in office. So you can be the one to do it. You can start, you know, your own governmental Bible study, because there's many places in the Bible that reference government. And we see throughout the Bible where godly men and women were in rule and were in government. We see King David in the Bible, who was in rule and in government. We see God using Esther to impact another leader in government, another king. And throughout the Bible, we see where when there was godly rule and leadership, you know, that God helped, God stepped in, God delivered his people when there were men like David who laid on his face as an imperfect leader but trusted God in every situation. Amen. We saw how God gave him the victory over and over and over against his enemies.
Amen.
Amen.
I think we're at a point where we can take a little break and come back. It's about a two-minute break, listeners, so you might want to reflect on what you've heard. And you can call in when we get back. You may have a question for Ingrid or a comment. The number to call would be 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And just give me a minute. I'm the only one here that works here, so, so I'll have to zip out and answer the phone. So let it ring until I can get there. And we'll talk to you in a couple of minutes. Yeah.
Hello, this is Rachel.
And Alexa.
We invite you to join us live for God's Got It.
Each Thursday morning at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. And welcome back to the front line. And we are truly on the front line today with Ingrid Ford, our guest. Wonderful sharing. Just want to tell you again, you can call in if you have a question for her or a comment. 772-221-1100 is the number to call. 772-221-1100. And Ann's got a question for Ingrid.
Ingrid, I just want to say thank you for being here again today.
Mm-hmm. It's my honor.
And it's just exciting to have a woman of God be used to combat the culture, and we are all called to do that. That entails courage, and you have courage from the Lord. You've done a lot of courageous things through Faith and Family Advocates, and I just want to ask if you could bring up a certain example of something that the ministry has done to counter culture and how you listen to Holy Spirit for each step of the way on what to do. Is there anything that comes to mind that you want to talk about regarding that?
Yes, Anne, I have several examples. So I heard about a prayer proclamation. We all know that prayer has been taken out of many schools across Broward County, across the state of Florida, across the nation. And I heard about a proclamation.
Ooh, 1 second, Ingrid. We have a call. So let's see who this is. Good morning, WCNO.
Yeah, hey, Ann. It's Keith Masters. How are you?
Keith, our fellow co-host on Biblical Response, who is also a friend of Ingrid. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning. How are you? Hi, Ingrid.
Hi, Keith. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, no. It's as the Lord leads, Ingrid.
Yeah.
So Ingrid, you were talking about, and just very quickly, you brought up the heartbeat bill. I'm not sure, number one, that everybody knows what the heartbeat bill may include in a brief synopsis, because I know that I think it's Mississippi or Missouri that now, after 9 months, it's passed where abortion is legal.
Well, Keith, That is a thank you for mentioning the heartbeat bill, because you know it's common sense that when a person's heart stopped, they're considered dead. So it's common sense that when a person's heart starts beating, should be considered alive.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And
Amen.
That's the basis of the heartbeat bill. Through science, we're now able to hear a baby's heartbeat as early as 6 weeks, even earlier,
yep.
6 weeks.
Yep. Wow.
And before there's been this misconception that a baby was just a clump of tissue, you know, a bunch of cells. But through 4D technology sonogram, now the baby's heart can be heard as early or six weeks, if
yep.
not earlier.
Wow.
So that is the yep. number one sign of life. The heartbeat is the number one sign of life. And that's why we fought. I joined with many other organizations, pro-life organizations, and PAC to present the heartbeat bill. I met the writer of the heartbeat bill, Janet Porter, about 5 years ago. She gave me her book on the heartbeat bill. She says, Ingrid, it's time that Florida passed the heartbeat bill.
Amen.
And I sent a version. You know, the Lord, Holy Spirit guided me. I modified what she gave me, and I sent a version in. And there are several other versions of the bill. But together, all the PAC, so many people, so many advocates across the country fought together. And finally, the governor signed the heartbeat bill that now protects babies when their heart starts beating.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the other thing that I was the Lord has on my heart, and we speak about this on a biblical response. It's the lack of commitment for God's heart for the people to be voting from the church for in the heart of God, and they're voting for the person that they like, and they're separating themselves to the party alliance rather than to God's heart, which you mentioned before. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and Philippians chapter 3 both speak about running the race of endurance. And I'm just wondering how many people that listen aren't even in the race to get involved to shine God's light into this nation.
Yes, Keith, that too is a very, very important issue. And it's a concern of mine as well, you know, because like I mentioned earlier, the Bible clearly tells us that we've been given the power and the dominion and the authority to subdue the culture in which we live.
Yes.
That even though there's many different fights over power and dominion, that it's the church that ultimately has the power, because that power and dunamis was given to us by God. And we need to, it's time that we exercise that power and authority. And one way that we can exercise that power and authority is registering to vote, first of all. Registering to vote.
Yes.
Because the last time I heard, over 400,000 believers were not registered to vote. So they need to register to vote, and they need to identify those godly men and women that will rule biblically, who are follower. You know, there's a difference between being a follower of Christ and being a fan of Christ. You know, it's time for the true followers of Jesus Christ, not just to be a fan of his, but to follow him.
Amen.
In his ways, in his deeds, and everything he's done.
Right, right. For the church to follow him.
Right.
For the church to follow the teachings of Christ so that they don't separate themselves and voting for the support of the leftist ideas, because those are not in support of Christ.
Yes.
You know, Keith, and Ingrid, I think one of the biggest problems is that our people in the church are not aware of the position of the opposition. They're not aware of what the ultimate goals are of the other side. Mm-hmm. They don't really understand that domination over us and over the world is what the left is looking for. We just don't have that awareness.
Christians who you know, say that they vote for the left side are voting on the identity of the individual and say that they're not supporting the platform.
Exactly.
So this is really concerning, where they believe that their hands are clean of voting or supporting abortion, of voting or supporting for gay marriage, of voting or supporting LGBTQ. So they're saying that their hands are clean of all of those issues because they're only voting for the individual.
Well, the new enemy we're coming up with now, too, is progressive socialism.
Yeah.
And that's a real, really serious situation.
Yeah, we could
wander on that landscape for a long time, but we have to get back to Ingrid. So thanks for calling, Keith.
I'll see you tomorrow, but thank you for calling. Okay, brother? God bless you. God bless
you. Thank you, Ingrid, for bringing that subject up.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Keith, for calling in.
Take care.
You know, we're... I just want to say to the listeners, this is not a fight between we don't wrestle with flesh and blood.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
This is
spiritual warfare.
It is.
Absolutely.
This is not about left or right or red or blue. This is spiritual warfare.
Yes.
This is about good versus evil.
Yes.
And the only thing someone said, that the only thing that allows for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing.
Yes.
And we will not be known as the generation that sat and did nothing. We will not be known as the believers. Let that not be name among us.
Amen.
That we were the believers that sat and did nothing.
Yes.
After Jesus Christ went to the cross, paid the ultimate sacrifice, and gave his life for us to live freely in a culture that honors children, that honors the newborn, that honors families, that honors faith. That's why he died, so that we can be free.
Absolutely.
Right.
From all oppression.
Yes.
From all demonic rule and oppression. That's why he died.
Amen.
And we are, as followers of Jesus, his hands and feet now in the earth.
Amen.
We're the ones who are called to subdue it, to carry on what he died for us to have, the freedom, because the Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Amen.
And if Jesus had never intended for his church to actually do anything, he would have been mute when he ascended. But instead, if you go to Matthew 28, 16 through 20, his last charge to the church is go forth into all the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them and baptizing them in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I've commanded you.
Yes.
And that's an active mode for the church. He didn't say, well, build church buildings and then lock yourselves in them, listen to good music and an interesting sermon and wait till I get back.
Yeah.
No, because we are his hands and feet, as you said.
Amen.
Amen. The church is a fellowship hall where we gather, we worship.
Yes.
The Bible says faith comes from hearing the word. So the word of God is preached. We're energized. We're mobilized to go into the world, world, and to change the world. Because we are the church. We, the believers, are the church.
Right.
It's not the buildings. We are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Through us, greater works we are supposed to do if we really believe in Jesus, and if we really are followers of him and not just fans, then we should be bearing fruit. And the fruit is certainly not showing up in our culture, and that's because the church has not take their rightful position in the culture.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
Before Keith called, Ingrid, I apologize. Thank you, Keith, for calling, by the way. But I want to get back to that thread that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And I had asked you, what kinds of things have you done as a ministry where you've seen success? Mm-hmm. You were in the middle of saying something. Ingrid, do you want to go back? And we don't have the most amount of time, about 15 minutes.
We got time.
But let's talk about how the Holy Spirit has led you into war to fight, and where he has led you into victory.
So I have several examples. You know, the Holy Spirit led me to introduce a prayer proclamation in Broward County Public Schools. We know that prayers were taken out of schools. Broward County was one of the darkest counties for a long time of the 67 counties in the state of Florida.
Wow.
And so, you know, the board is outnumbered by people who don't see things necessarily from a biblical standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible tells us that men ought to always pray. Prayer is essential part of faith.
Amen.
Faith is protected by the Florida Constitution. Our faith and religion is protected by the United States Constitution.
Amen.
And prayer is a number one important piece of our faith. So introducing a proclamation, bringing prayer, which should be a freedom of religion, you know, should not have been a difficult thing. But many people told me it will not happen in Broward. You know, Broward, you know, don't support those things. It will not happen. You know, you're wasting your time. Why are you going to submit this proclamation? And the Holy Spirit told me to submit the proclamation, gave me the time frame to submit it. And the Holy Spirit gave me, of the 9 school board members, the Holy Spirit gave me the name of the person to submit it to, who at the time was Daniel Fogonali, whose father is a pastor.
Wow.
I didn't know at the time that his father was a pastor.
Wow.
But the Lord said, give it to that Daniel, and he will do the rest. And so we had many advocates. Thank you. I want to give a shout out to one of our advocates, Pastor Bill Carlson, and several pastors that came, and we stood and we spoke in support of having prayer back in schools.
Amen.
Because it's part of our religious belief, and religion, again, is a constitutionally protected right.
Yes.
And so after months of, you know, going, advocating, speaking, finally a miracle happened where the Broward County School Board voted to have prayer back in schools.
Oh, wow.
Praise God.
They voted to acknowledge, it's a step, but it's a vital step. They voted to acknowledge the National Day of Prayer in Broward County Public Schools, where 250,000, Broward being the sixth largest school district in the nation, 250,000 children every year for 4 years now, the National Day of Prayer has been recognized in Broward County schools by nearly 250,000 children that are able to go to a flag.
Praise God. We lift up Jesus. Amen. And Ingrid, people told you that it could not be done in Broward County.
Correct. Yep.
But they haven't met our God, have they?
That's right.
Amen.
Any other examples, Ingrid?
And another example was the Bible ban. There were a group of atheists and satanists try to challenge the Bible in Broward County Public Schools libraries and try to have the Bible banned.
Wow.
And I found out about it hours, literally hours. It was like maybe 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon when I got a call that there was going to be a meeting the next day, the next morning at 8:30 at the school board to hear about the Bible that people have, the group of atheists had challenged the Bible. And I started praying. I'm like, God, I mean, we can't, what are we going to do about this? We can't have the Bible is the only source of truth.
Amen.
Of all the books, you know, the Bible is the only source of truth that those children have. And the Holy Spirit start, you know, talking to me, gave me instructions to call. I made calls to, you know, a couple hundred people. I got 60 pastors, faith leaders, and community leaders to come out within less than 10 hours.
Amen.
To support the Bible. We went, we prayed outside, we held hands. I told everybody, as the Holy Spirit led me, to take your Bibles with you. And we stood outside and we prayed. And 60 of us marched in, and they were so shocked when they saw us coming in because it was not a publicly announced meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were having it in a little tiny room in the school board, and they had to vacate that room and go into the big, hall gathering meeting place. And God gave us the victory that day. The Broward County School Board voted unanimously to have the prayer, to have the Bible, to keep the Bible in schools. But months later, in January, the following year, which is 2024, a group of satanists this time came again to challenge the Bible. And the Holy Spirit led me to go back. And when I took the mic, I wasn't sure how I was going to defend the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But the Holy Spirit started speaking through me and said, the Bible is the number one best-selling, all-time best-selling book in the world with over 5 billion copies sold.
Yes.
Why would you want to ban the number one world best-selling book?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit said the Bible provides an historical context for children in the school system. They can learn about so many other nations and cultures by reading the Bible. It's an educational and historical reference for the children.
Amen.
Furthermore, the Bible is protected by the Constitution, state constitution, and by the Supreme, by different Supreme Court rulings, the Bible is protected. The Bible, again, is part of our religious, a fundamental part of the, our religious beliefs.
Yes.
And so the Bible is protected.
Yes.
And then the Holy Spirit said, the Bible is the only book by which any child from any race, any background, socioeconomic background, any sexual orientation, being gay, straight, transgendered, the Bible is the only place where children from all backgrounds can come and find love, acceptance, redemption.
Yes.
It's the only book on the planet that accepts all people.
Amen.
And I said, this is not your jurisdiction. You don't have the authority as board members to ban the Bible.
That's right.
Your job is educating our children in reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Yes.
You don't have the authority to ban the Bible. If you want to challenge the Bible, I will see you in court.
Wow.
Wow.
And drop the mic.
And Holy Spirit gave you those strategies, Ingrid.
Yes.
Amen.
And you said they voted
unanimously.
Wow.
That is only a miracle.
To keep
from the
Bible in school.
Praise
and
God.
I have you know, the Sun Sentinel clip.
Yes.
To show that the Bible was retained in Broward County Public School. Also, the Sun Sentinel carried the prayer where Broward County agreed to allow the prayer to be in school.
Yes.
And then most recently, you know, a group out of Tampa, were they were working on a proclamation to honor faith and family in the month of June. And I want to thank Daniel Bernard from Tampa Bay. Somebody cares, Tampa Bay, Florida. There are several mayors that work on this proclamation, trying to get faith and family back at the forefront.
Amen.
Every day, every month. But especially in the month of June, we needed an alternative for children and families to be able to gather and celebrate families.
Yes.
And so, you know, they came to me with the proclamation and I prayed about it. I pray about every event and every battle, you know, because we can't just walk in our own flesh. We have to hear from Holy Spirit if we are real, true followers of Christ before we take on the fight on the front lines. That is very critical. And so as I prayed, I felt Holy Spirit told me that a proclamation governing faith and family needs to come from the highest office in our state.
Amen.
And we need the leader of the state to come in agreement. And so that's when, you know, I was led to submit it to the governor's office. And thank God we have a governor that does stand for faith and family. And the proclamation was signed.
Amen.
And so now families can celebrate faith, their faith. They can celebrate families. The families is the backbone of every society and culture. We what we see today at this the just the complete chaos of families, and that's because we put many other things before before the family
priorities.
And we have to go back to building strong families with fathers as the head of the household, as they were designed.
Amen.
And to teach children, the Bible says, teach children in the way that they should go so that when they grow up, they will not depart from it. And the Bible says our children will be taught of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and great mm-hmm. will be their heritage. And so that's why we stand for faith and family and biblical principles, because that's the only way we're going to thrive as a society, thrive as a culture, and see and have the blessing of the Lord on us again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I have to say, and I hate to always say this, but our time is almost up. We have about three and a half minutes yet before we have to say goodbye. So first of all, I want to thank you, Ingrid, for being willing to come be with us.
Yes.
For sharing from your heart. And I strongly suspect that God's not finished with you here.
Amen.
Being on air with us, either on the phone or in person, because there's so much more to share. And as God continues to get you involved in the very important issues of life at every level of our culture, you're going to be doing things that we'd like to hear about. So I think we'll be inviting you to come back.
If our listeners want to get involved, Ingrid, is there a way to contact you? I think we could put that out there, right? Maybe she's
have an email address
yes. or something like that. And they could contact you to get activated.
Yes. Yes. It's Ingrid at faithandfamilyadvocates.com or ingrid.ford95@gmail.com. ingrid.ford95@gmail.com. We'll be happy to give you ways that you can get involved, become an advocate, stand up for the issues
yes.
that are affecting you, your community, and just helping to submit, subdue the culture as we are called to do. And if you're out there today listening and you've never accepted to become a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to say that everything else may fail you. Everything else, whether it's social media, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's sex, everything else is temporary and subject to change.
Yes.
But I want to let you know that I've followed Jesus Christ for over 40 years, and he's never, ever failed me.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So you can ask him to come into your life.
Yes.
And it's a simple prayer. Lord, I repent of all my sins.
Mm.
Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And you find a Bible teaching church.
Yes.
Yes.
To go and attend. Thank you so much for having me.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
And you're certainly. Amen. Thank you for being Amen. Available. I just give God mail. Thanks.
Glory.
Great Thanksgiving for the anointing that he's given you and the mission he's given you. He's using you to cut a swath of truth through the forest of lies that we find in our culture today. And my prayer is that as God is doing that through you, that all those others doing the same thing will be blessed, and that God will raise up more.
Amen.
Amen.
We need
Amen.
More and more and more.
Amen.
And so with that, though, I must say, listener, thank you for listening in. We'll be back with you next week.
Amen.
Amen.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front lines.